Hello and welcome to SearchSalesforce.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And today we're going to talk a bit about recent acquisitions actually that have been going on just about all year in 2016 with Salesforce, even beginning in December of 2015 when Salesforce purchased SteelBrick, and it really kicked off what we might call a buying spree over the past, say, 7 months, with other companies like MetaMind, Demandware, and Quip being purchased by Salesforce over the course of this year. So to talk about the impact of these various purchases, I have with me Brent Leary of CRM Essentials and a contributor to Search CRM and Search Salesforce. Brent, welcome.
Good to be with you again, Lauren.
Great to have you back, and I know that there's quite a bit to discuss here, lots of different kinds of purchases over the course of this year, and then maybe we'll also get to a recent departure at Salesforce toward the end. But just to start, there's been a rash of purchases, as I mentioned. Which of these companies, in your view, seems most kind of beneficial to kind of filling out the Salesforce portfolio?
Wow. So let's just do a quick recap here, because as you said, the acquisitions are coming fast and furious. I mean, we're here in early August, and they've already made their monthly acquisition, apparently, with Quip. In July, they bought a company called Coolin. In June, they bought Demandware. In May, they bought Implicit. April, MetaMind. They took off March for some reason. Maybe it's because of my birthday, and they were just honoring that. I don't know. But February, they bought Prediction.io. And then you mentioned SteelBrick back in December of 2015. So it's and of course, the big one that got away is LinkedIn. We know that they were really interested in buying LinkedIn, but Microsoft bought LinkedIn for $26 billion. So yeah, they are just constantly in acquisition mode. And on top of that, they actually have a Salesforce venture side where they're investing in companies as well. So they're doing a lot of investing. They're doing a lot of acquisitions. And for the most part, they have been around things that are really tied to their core in CRM or customer engagement or customer success, whatever you want to call it. Buying a company like SteelBrick added the capability of, you know, kind of the configure price quoting piece that helps with complex sales or sales with different components. But that's part of the, you know, kind of the core CRM functionality now. Demandware, when they bought them, just, it seemed like it was so long ago, but it was really best in June, with that added the e-commerce component. So making it easy to do digital transactions. So not just stopping at, you know, digital marketing or the sales, social selling, but now being able to do the actual transaction online as opposed to offline. So that's a key addition to the customer success, customer engagement platform. And then things like MetaMind and Prediction and Implicit, they're more focused on, you know, the kind of the data and the intelligence and the machine learning and the artificial intelligence stuff. Totally makes sense, because as this more and more data comes in about customers, about their behaviors, about their transactions, analyzing it quickly, being able to turn that analysis into some sort of outreach, some sort of engagement, some sort of product or service, being able to do that as frictionless as possible, very important to customer success and customer engagement. So those acquisitions totally seem to make a lot of sense. They're very cohesive. They're in the wheelhouse of what Salesforce is talking about. And then we get the Coolin and Quip. And I'll go with Quip, because this was just recently done. This is sort of like collaborative word processing, kind of like Quip wants to kind of say is kind of the future of what word processing and collaborative word processing is about, compared to kind of the more traditional tried and true Microsoft Word. And it had been making some inroads and kind of making a name for itself. And one of the founders is from Facebook. So that good management seemed to be kind of an interesting application, but not what I would consider to be in the wheelhouse of what Salesforce is doing with customer success and customer engagement. So that was kind of a curious acquisition.
It is. That was sort of the nature of the question is, as you mentioned, as you started, things like deal break, configure price quote are clearly enhancing kind of the core Salesforce services. Quip, not so much, not clearly at the core of what Salesforce is about.
Not really. And then even the Kulin acquisition, which was an interesting one. Kulin, I've heard it described as what there's a company called New Relic, and what New Relic does is kind of monitor the health of your applications to make sure everything's running correctly. If there's a problem, where it pinpoints the problem, and you can quickly go and address it. What Kulin is apparently the equivalent of what Quip does, but for hardware. So if you have thousands of servers, and those servers have, multiple hard drives and multi-processors, Kulin is supposed to be able to help you find out where there is a potential problem when it comes to a hardware issue. And so why would Salesforce buy that? That's definitely not core to the customer engagement stuff. What Quip is doesn't seem to be core to the customer engagement stuff. But remember one of our previous podcasts, we talked about the outage that Salesforce had that had them down for a day, where certain customers were just totally locked out for a day. And so the Kulin acquisition kind of makes sense from the standpoint of now Salesforce, who owns a lot of servers and is managing, just a ton of things in addition to the what they're doing with AWS, but they have their own, hardware and technology that they are managing. So Kulin seemed to be maybe an answer to making sure that they don't have those kind of outages. They're addressing those serious concerns that customers have whenever there's an outage. So that makes total sense. Quip, I think maybe this is a kind of a stab towards Microsoft and going towards a bit of a str well, a real strength that Microsoft has when it comes to the Office 365 and the way people are have been using Word forever. Now maybe Salesforce is saying, you got the LinkedIn, but now maybe we're going to come and try to, start messing around with your core business a little bit, because I don't see any other reason why they do it.
That's an interesting point. So now let me ask you this, and we've talked about this in other contexts, because sometimes acquisitions like the SteelBrick acquisition was relatively seamless. We saw relatively soon after the ability to kind of build that application on top of the Salesforce platform, and it was pretty turnkey. But are there other acquisitions where you think the application might not be as seamlessly integrated, where it is more superfluous, or the integration might be a little bit more difficult? Some have sort of talked about Radian 6, the acquisition of that social monitoring platform several years ago, is kind of in that category. Are there downsides to some of these other acquisitions that we might take a look at?
The ones that they've made outside of Quip, which I'm still trying to kind of get my head around, the other ones make sense because when you think of Implicit and Metamine and prediction, you're talking about things like machine learning and artificial intelligence. And that, with the amounts of data that are coming on, it makes total sense that you need applications, algorithms, processes to analyze at that data, that incoming data, in as near real time as possible, and be able to leverage the analysis that comes out of it for engagement opportunities, for being able to see if a customer is about to churn, or see if a customer is trying to do something in 20 steps that maybe you can help them get to in 2 steps. And if you can help them get to it in 2 steps, that's going to prolong their life cycle with you. So that kind of stuff it makes total sense. And even with the Kulin, now that I think about it, in addition to being able to monitor their own hardware, maybe they can leverage Kulin to provide a service that goes into their IoT that allows them to provide monitoring services to their customer base that has devices that have hardware out there, that maybe they can use that as a new revenue stream to say to certain customers, hey, you've got 1,000 lawn or 20,000 lawnmowers out there. We can manage we can tell you when things are going to happen before they happen so you can take care of it. So that makes sense. So all of them, there's a rhyme or a reason to it in my estimation. I'm still trying to find that connection with Quip to their customer success, customer engagement platform.
Clearly, you alluded to Demandware being one of the key acquisitions, kind of positioning Salesforce to take on some of the other big players in the market, SAP and Oracle, and even to some extent Microsoft. But how do you think the Demandware acquisition, it really positions Salesforce to kind of enhance its portfolio?
Well, Demandware is really going to help in terms of those digital transactions and being able to basically complete the life cycle of online as opposed to just, you know, kind of the traditional, you use SEO, SEM, all sorts of lead gen, online lead qual, online kind of processing or tracking of the stages that a deal is in. And then once it gets to a certain point, then the transaction goes from online to offline, which may add additional time and resources that you may not need for certain transactions. And so what Demandware gives them the capability of is having a complete beginning to end process that happens online. So it goes from a lead to a closed transaction all online. And more transactions are taking place like this. And so adding Demandware allows Salesforce to have a complete customer journey from the standpoint of like an onboarding from a prospect to a lead to a full-blown opportunity to a customer and account and all that. And if you're able to do all of that through online, that provides really great capabilities and allows you to stay on lockstep or at least on a competitive footing with SAP, with what they do in Hybris and what Oracle can do with ATG and now with what they're doing with NetSuite. So it was a needed piece, and you can tell by the amount of money they spent, $2.8 billion. That's not chump change. So I think they needed to have it, and it'll be really interesting to see how 6 to 12 months, how this is all baked in and how it's integrated and how their customers are able to basically do complete life cycle online from lead gen to closed transactions.
So now finally, on a slightly different note, let's talk about a recent departure from Salesforce, which is Adam Bosworth of IoT Cloud, who jumped to Amazon just a few days ago.
Yeah, kind of surprising to me. If you remember last year at Dreamforce 2015, I actually had a chance to do a pretty long 20-30 minute interview/conversation with Adam Bosworth. At the time, he was heading up Salesforce's IoT initiatives. And if you remember, during Dreamforce 15, IoT was like one of the big things, one of the standouts that was really being talked about and promoted. And he was leading the charge. So less than 8-9 months, he's not at the company anymore. That's kind of a shock to me. Now, he is a guy who's done a lot in his career. And he has moved a lot in his career. So he spent a couple of years at Google. He's spent a couple of years, or maybe more so, at Microsoft. He's built his own companies and sold them. So he kind of moves a lot. I guess he likes to stay on the cutting edge of things. And so it's not a huge surprise that he's moved on. He's moved on to Amazon, ironically. But it's just maybe the timing seems a little interesting, because IoT seemed like such an important cornerstone to the future of what Salesforce is doing, and that now he's no longer there, it's a bit of a shock to me.
It is, and to that point, when you spoke with him last year, one of the big themes that he impressed upon me anyway was this notion that while there's this kind of promise of IoT to to deliver real-time information and kind of seamless customer service. He, in many ways, described a reality that's kind of far off from that, even in his own customer service personal experience. Do you think that might, to some extent, have played into the decision in the sense that there's a lot of promise in IoT, but the reality is kind of distant from what that promise looks like? Could that be a factor?
You know, I almost hate to speculate on as to what he, you know, why he left. All I can say is he went to Amazon, and Amazon is on the cutting edge of all this stuff, you know, and they are leading the pack in a lot of ways when it comes to a lot of, you know, the machine learning, the artificial intelligence, the web services. Amazon Web Services is on itself a success, let alone with all the other things that Amazon is doing. So Amazon is kind of an interesting lab when you think about it. And it moves faster because it is consumer oriented than a more of a B2B play than like a Salesforce or any other enterprise software company. So maybe Amazon provides a opportunity to get to the future a little faster. I don't know. But it is curious that the one company that he did go to was Amazon.
Yes. Well, Brent, as always, thank you so much for shedding light on some of these market moves, and we'll be watching them with you. So thanks again for joining us.
We just have to kind of get a good a beverage and sit back and watch and try to keep up with everything that's going on.
Yeah, it does seem like you need kind of a front row seat to all these changes of late because they're happening so quickly. So we'll be relying on you for that to help us kind of get that front row seat and that insight. And for more on Salesforce, you can always check out searchsalesforce.com and also our sister site, searchcrm.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.